This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Little self-assist on this one. It said it's a hard one to fathom. A flight instructor in Argentina jumped to his death mid-flight, forcing his stunned student to land the aircraft on her own.
Yeah.
It's all according to CNN. She did so safely. Incidents that took place in Toledo last weekend. As first reported by the U.S. Sun, according to local media accounts, the 22-year-old female flying student said instructor Leandro Andre Bertazzo turned to her during the lesson and said, you know, what you got to do? You got to carry on. He then took off his headset, unbuckled his seatbelt, and jumped out of the Cessna.
Jesus, man.
42-year-old was found later. Student identified only as Rosario landed the plane without a hitch, though in complete shock, according to Eduardo Alvarez, director of the Flying Parrots Cordoba School. He added that Bertazzo had showed no sign he planned to take his own life. It's impossible to think about or understand it, obviously. Authorities are investigating the circumstances surrounding his death. But she already told you what that was, so I don't understand
what the circumstances.
What are the person there?
I mean, jumped out of a plane.
Do you think that she threw the pilot out?
Right. I mean,
what's the other scenario here?
Wow. Okay. That is something.
When did you need or lend a helping hand? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Andy. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
You know, I stand on the back porch one day, and my youngest daughter, she was about 10, walked up and says, Dad, I think the neighbor's bush is on fire. I said, you know, they have bonfires all the time. Sure, it's fine. And she comes back early and says, no, Dad, I'm pretty sure it's on fire. So I go, okay, I'll grab a fire extinguisher. I'm a car guy, so I have a bunch of ABC fire extinguishers around all the time just in case. I walk down there, and sure enough, they'd set not only their bush on fire, but their garden shed with their lawnmower and implement destruction in it. So I spray the fire extinguisher all over the place on the ground, sweeping it, put out the bonfire, put out the bush, put out the shed. And 45 minutes later, the fire department shows up. I said, oh, we're so glad you called. They found a hot spot on the bottom of the shed when I ripped it apart with their pry bars. But other than that, everything was good.
Awesome. I have yet to pull the pin on one.
Done it one
time. I
mean, time,
I accidentally pulled a pin, right, but not, I mean, for real, where it, like, worked for fire.
Yeah, did it once. Restaurant I'm working at, top floor of a museum, same museum where your coworker broke the chair. And the thing about the day was we had a surprise health department inspection. But if you work in a restaurant, you hate it's bad enough when they're scheduled. You certainly hate it when you're surprised. But the woman came in, she did her inspection. The nice thing was, we passed with flying colors, and she was very complimentary to us. Hey, man, you guys keep a clean kitchen. I'm like, thank you, man. I appreciate that. So she has to write up her report. So she sits down at our bar, orders a salad, and she goes to write up her report. And again, I'm feeling great because we're getting like an A+ on a surprise inspection, man. So just as a cook in the industry, like, you feel pretty good about yourself. So I'm chatting with her, and we're getting along very well because she's happy that our restaurant's clean. I'm happy that we're not getting flagged for anything. And one of the cooks comes out, and he's like, hey, can I talk to you, ma'am? And you can tell there's, like, this sense of urgency. I'm like, yeah, just give me a minute. So I kind of finish up with this woman. I'm like, what? We just go around the corner. I'm like, dude, what is up? I'm talking, like, to the health lady. He's like, yeah, there's molten metal falling out of the ceiling onto the grill. Like, molten metal? What are you talking about, man? And I go back there. Sure enough, these little blobs of metal were coming down. Turns out, by the time we discovered that the vent was on fire, it had been on fire. This is what the fire department tells us. Probably for like 2 days, right? But these small, that's why it had gotten so hot. Because I'm like, dude, we cannot set metal on fire. But it had been there for like 2 days. Anyway, we're like, uh-oh. So I walk back out to the health department lady. I'm like, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. She's like, what did I do? I said, you haven't done anything. But in spite of how well we did the inspection, my kitchen's on fire, right? So automatically, now this becomes a negative, which I understand. But we grabbed the fire extinguishers, put out the fire. We had to go up on the roof of the museum and spray down. And we're pretty sure we got the fire out. The fire department shows up. And I remember they're like, hey, you know, good job, guys. We're like, oh, thank God. It could have been so much worse. And says, I have very bad news for you. Oh, like, no. What? They have to run their hose from the top down into the kitchen. You know, they're like, look,
you're going to flood the kitchen.
But there's nothing you can do. And they're like, look, we don't want to flood your kitchen, and it seems like the fire's out, but there's no guarantees, right? We do this professionally. Let us do our thing. And we did. And sure enough, I don't know if there was still a fire up there or not, but, like, all the soot and all the crap that's been collecting in the vent anyway over the years, all that stuff is just getting blown out. Mm. I mean, with the force of a fire hose, man. So we're watching basically come through the vent, onto the grill, all over the food, all over the floor. Had to shut down the restaurant for 2 days. And I remember the general manager, he comes rolling in, and he's like, we should clean this up and be open by tonight. I'm like, Ken, bro, I mean,
we literally
have to make every single food item we've had again from scratch. We still have to clean up the kitchen. It is impossible. So he said, well, hopefully tomorrow. I'm like, well, hopefully, man. But I mean, it takes what it takes. But yeah, 2 days later, managed to get it open. But that's the one time that I used a fire extinguisher. And in the museum, there were maybe six of them total, just based on that, because it was four floors, we're on the fourth floor. So they had like two, I believe, per floor, whatever it was. But we used all of them.
Yeah.
Me, and I mean, but
I've never even seen, I've only seen a hose used once.
What do you mean? Like a,
fire hose? Like an actual hose. I've only seen, like, really? even when Herky's house burned down, it was almost to the ground. There was no point in wasting the water.
Oh, really?
It was just, I mean, it was, that thing went up, and by the time they got there, it's a volunteer fire department.
Yeah.
It was just, there was no point.
So they didn't even turn the hose?
No. They just let it burn.
What about when you, was that Ladder 42? Is that the name of the movie?
We did not get to hose training.
Really?
They don't do that.
They put you in a burning building, right?
But the building they put you in has gas lines.
No, I understand.
To simulate heat. So you're not really going to spray out those gas lines because they're just there to train.
Yeah.
But you have all the crap on.
But it just seems like if you're wearing all the stuff, part of the training would be firing the hose.
We did not
get to that point. Right. I mean, that's the part you wait for.
We did not get to that point. Like, they really never, that was not for us. So I don't know if those were probably real firemen were actually doing that stuff in the movie.
They did hire a lot of real firemen.
Yeah, because you have to be trained to be able to, to use it. So
I'm just saying, if I wanted to do the training.
I don't think you can do a weekend training or whatever it was, 3 days, and, you know, get the hose ready.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I don't know, man. If I'm doing 3 days of training like you did, like, I want to use the hose?
Wouldn't that seem, I don't want to say the easiest, because I don't mean it exactly like that.
First of all,
like,
you realize the nozzles on those things are like 10 grand. So if you drop it, you're screwed.
But you put me in this hot-ass building with all this equipment on, right? All this stuff, like, but I can't shoot the hose. Like, come on, man.
When my car blew up in Virginia, I did not realize how hot the engine was getting. I'm not sure if I just completely ran out of coolant. I know for a fact that the engine block at some point had cracked.
Yeah.
On that trip. So it wasn't, obviously I'd made it all the way down to Virginia and I was coming back. So it hadn't happened until probably coming back. And when the floor fell out of my car and when the engine blew up, so this huge ball of smoke goes up, okay? So I don't really think anything of it. But the guy behind me, the guy in the truck who pulled over to help me, he gave me a ride to the next exit, which was probably a couple miles down the road.
Yeah.
Now, at this point in time, I've also got part of my engine on a major interstate.
Right, just sitting in the middle of the road.
Smoldering. Like, this thing is, but I don't really think about that. So I go to kind of push it with my foot to try to kick it off the road and basically melt the bottom of my shoe.
Yeah, instantly I would.
All right, I get into this guy's truck with a sticky bottom rubber and, like, it sticks to the mat. I'm like, oh, man, this guy's giving me a lift. And I'm pretty sure there's just, like, rubber melted into his carpet right now in this truck. So he gets me there and, again, this is before cell phones. So the gas station, they make a call to the fire department or whoever the police department is. And when the truck driver, I got a tow truck driver to take me back to the car because I just figured tow the car someplace.
Yeah.
I got to figure out what to do. I ended up getting a Greyhound bus. But when I went back there, man, they were hosing the living hell out of the car. So I'm not sure if it had caught on fire, or they were just trying to make sure that it wouldn't catch on fire, or maybe just started. There was no engine in it.
Yeah.
Like, the engine had completely blown out of the car. But I was like, when he was doing that, I was like, dude, like, I have a radio in there.
Like, that's like, your concern. Yeah. Well, the floor of your car fell out.
It's like, my radio. Yeah, seriously. Like, I had all my stuff in there. All my clothes were in there.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. Like, you know, like, I'd just been gone on a job training thing for a week.
That's it, man. I mean, the water does.
Oh, my, because, like, I had one of those, like, little suitcases, zip-up things for all my cassettes.
Yeah.
Just, like, everything that you travel with when you're that age.
Mm-hmm.
I had a radar detector. I had all these things, man, and it was just, it's like it just got dumped in a bathtub.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Like, the fire does half the damage, the water does the other, but at least the water put out the fire. Right, it's like, well, instead of this thing burning up, I just have to get rid of it because it's absolutely waterlogged.
Oh, yeah.
But you get to save the structure, mm-hmm. right?
When did you need or lend a helping hand? 206-803-ROCK. Where do we go? Let's go to Yellowstone. You've probably seen the video. A grandfather's walk through a Yellowstone campground turned violent when a bull bison suddenly charged and sent him flying an estimated 8 feet into the air, according to a witness. Now, if you've seen the full version of this video, honest to God, as far as what I would understand to be somewhat safe, he was not being one of those idiots.
No.
He was not being aggressive. He was not trying to taunt this animal. He was way far away from it. He was with his grandson, I believe.
With his grandson 100 yards away. All they did, the guy stopped to turn around to take a picture. And again, understand, it's not like he approached it. He was the Yellowstone Park recommended distance from the bison. And the bison, he's just kind of flopping on his back, kicking up dust, doing whatever bison do. Then he sat down, and he kind of looked at the guy, but he still didn't make a move. To the best of what witnesses can say, because I read the witness testimony, then saw the video. They said, look, the bison seemed like it was being cool, and the guy was a safe distance. But then this big-ass pickup truck drove between the bison and the dude, and then the bison kind of responded to the noise of the pickup truck, but instead of chasing the truck, he keyed in on the old man and his grandson.
Yeah, he did. And
yeah. Because the truck's probably so loud, it just triggers that bison's response.
It did, yeah.
Well, a photographer, Mike McLeod, he was camping at the Bridge Bay campground, and he started filming this thing. He was actually filming the animal from a distance beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So he did not know what was coming.
Like this, no.
Yeah. At one point, it began rushing a group of children before you see this video that had scattered. Now, the National Park Service has not yet released details on the incident. They don't need to. It's all there on video.
Yeah.
McLeod said the man, identified by the New York Times as Carl Isom McDaniel, and his grandson were about 100 yards away from the bison, about the distance that Yellowstone recommends, when they paused to take a photo of the bison, which appeared to have calmed down. A passing pickup seemed to set the animal off again. McLeod told the Cowboy State Daily, it then charged into the trees where the pair tried to hide. The grandson did end up escaping, but the bison hooked on to the granddad with his left horn on his hip and tossed him in the air. He made a perfect flip and landed on his side. They say the bison was at least 6 feet tall, and McDaniel several feet above him. So he,
oh yeah,
he threw him up in the air. McLeod and others ran toward the animal, yelling, prompting it to bolt. McDaniel was taken away by Yellowstone EMS with multiple broken bones and what his grandson later described as significant injuries. He maintains the visitors kept a safe distance and that the bison likely was amped up by rutting season. He was the clear aggressor. Most people see that these two did not ask for
it. Well, I think we could tell that. Yeah. I don't need to read the article to be like, I think he's the aggressor here.
The thing that killed me about
the
video...
old guy didn't do anything.
The old guy and his grandson... You know, when you watch the video, there's like this grove of pine trees. So they disappear into the pine trees, believing as big as this animal is, there's just no way he can get through all these different tree trunks. And it had no problem doing that. And then the worst part of the video is you see them hiding in the trees, and you cannot see them physically. And then you see the bison disappear, and it's almost like a cartoon. The trees are moving back and forth. There's a massive dust cloud. And then you see old man hauling ass out of the other side trying to outrun them. And it's not funny, but...
It almost looks like
Benny
Hill sketch.
It just, look, this guy has no run technique.
The guy runs like Jack Sparrow.
He does. He's old. He has red suspenders on. He's got like an old car.
It really is.
Right. I mean, everything about this guy looks like you want him to win. You want him to be a guy. Yeah.
Come on, buddy. I like some of the still photos where he's just in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Like, outside, day, you're just like, oh, no.
That's going to hurt. I don't care how old you are. That's going to hurt.
That's some yakety sex right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, nobody wants to see that dude get hurt. But that video, I mean, I got so many people said, like, I feel like every dude I know is, like, in my DMs on Instagram, like, have you seen this?
That man's not paying for another beer for the rest of his days.
No.
He goes into a bar, and he just shows him the video, like, dude, I got you.
This is me.
That's me.
And I just wondered how I got here.
Right?
That's me.
Golly. Yeah, I just felt bad because he did the right thing.
I hope it was the grandson that really wanted to go to Yellowstone.
I'm going to say it's grandpa says, you know what? We're going to take some us time. Let's go to Yellowstone Park, but we're going to follow the rules. The most important thing we can do
maintain
is follow the rules. So we are a safe distance.
And then, hey, Dick, well, you're with your grandson.
That's what I mean.
You don't want anything bad to happen to a family.
No.
Well, nothing bad happened to his grandson.
His grandson's fine.
Grandpa took it all, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's one that you're going to
end. I mean, I am watching a longer version of it. Like, that bison is already kind of... pissy.
Well, I mean, it's mating season.
Look at all right.
Jesus Christ.
He was feisty.
Okay, but what broke the bones? Was it the fall to the ground?
It's got to be the fall.
Or was probably it, both. Was it
the gore? Well, didn't they say that the horn like hooked him in the hip? So there's
didn't
one.
Didn't say it hooked his pants?
Pants or hip?
Right.
I saw a hip. It could have been his pants. Either way, homie got airborne, man.
That's a long tumble, man.
Someone is texting in that guy's from Washington State.
He might be.
No way.
Which wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he...
Yellowstone's reasonably close, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad I'm not him. But it makes me not want to go to Yellowstone.
I don't feel like...
I mean, I'm always one of those people, like, I'm not going to mess with the wild animal. When people say, hey, don't mess with the wild animal. I'm like, why are you telling me this? I understand that. I have absolutely no need or urge to mess with the wild animal. But I would have done at least what he did. Like, I'm the safe distance. Let's snap a picture. And my black ass would be cartwheeling through the air. No.
You also wouldn't be walking out free in Yellowstone. You'd probably be in the car driving through the park.
No, to be honest with you, in that case, I would rather walk out free. Right? Because okay. I'm paranoid enough that my head would be on a swivel to be like, all right, there's animals over there. Let's just keep our safe distance. But after seeing that, like, no. And keep in mind, that bison covered 100 yards real quick.
That's my issue. I don't think people, like, they're so fast for how big they are.
So fast. Crazy
but
fast.
Also, like, when that video starts and that thing's rolling around on the ground grunting, like I'm with Mike, I would have been like, I would have get my grandson, been like, get in the car.
But I still would have thought we're safe, you know, because there's other people there.
Well, I think a bison.
I would have been wrong.
You would have got eaten.
Yes, I would have been that guy. Didn't you say, Miles, that hippos when you went to Africa?
Oh God!
They explained to you like, look, man, as stupid as that animal looks, I know they're vicious and all that, but they look dumb. Let's just be honest. But, like, they're super fast on land with their little stubby-ass legs.
Even, like, even the Uber driver who took us to dinner one night. And we're downtown. And it was probably, I don't know, like, it was one of those Ubers where by the time we were done, I'm like, we did not need to Uber here. This
right.
was literally five blocks. You know, like, not a big deal. And he's like, look. He's like, the guy's like, look, I'm not trying to take your money. He's like, I will give you a ride back for free. But you cannot walk back to the hotel at night in the dark because of the hippos. They will attack and they will kill you. And he was just trying to be as kind as possible. He's like, this is, we.
What town was this?
That was in Victoria Falls.
Okay. That is a well-known spot.
Yeah, but I mean, he was dead serious. He's like, look, I won't charge you. You just need to be able to get back to your room and be okay. But in the river, on a boat, one, and I'll show you this video because I've got it on my phone. The hippo's running along the riverbank chasing our boat.
Yeah.
And then it jumps in, and all you see is this huge bubble, like, coming at us at lightning speed. Like, you're not seeing the head of this thing. You're not seeing
he's anything. Just underwater coming at.
He's underwater, and then he breaches for a second and then goes back down, and that guy just gunned the boat. And then there was another ferry that was like a big ass ferry with like a party cruise kind of thing on it, you know. Like, right. It was like an old timey, you know, riverboat or whatever. That guy, he turned the boat around and went the other direction. So
in the big ass,
it was a narrow part of the river. We still had to turn around to get back to where we launched. So like when he gets down far enough, I'm like, all right, well that guy's still in the river, but we need to come back through the same area.
That is a problem.
And get back to where we, you know, like.
What are you thinking when that thing's running on the side of the river?
Do you think it's the end of it?
I think I've never seen anything that fat and big run that fast.
Right.
I mean, because it does not look like they're muscular. But it does not look...
They don't look fast. You're not thinking fleet of foot.
They're not... Yeah, they don't look like a, you know, a leopard.
They just look stupid, yeah.
Yeah. But you don't have any... And then when it dives. It flew through the air like no issue. And then it was gone. And it's creating this wake and this wave underneath the water. And I'm like looking like, oh, man. And I can kind of see the guy who's driving the boat. He's got that look on his face like... like I'm not going to let them know, but that was messed up. I'll show you the video of this guy.
Dude, see.
Well, if he does that tour all the time, he knows. He can't act scared, but he was probably scared assless.
Guaranteed he was, yeah.
When did you need or lend a helping hand? 206-803-ROCK. Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, our categories today, the states that spend the most on fast food and rat-infested cities. That's coming up after emails on our question, when did you need or lend a helping hand? And animals need that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Told the story many times about jumping over the cliff there at Gold Gardens to save Miles' dog.
That dog sucked, too.
Ah, but there are more.
Yeah, I should have let him die.
I mean, look, you can't. What I'm saying is, I know deep down you wanted to, but you can't.
That is correct.
Yeah. I mean, look, that dog, seriously, that dog sucked. And I know it had to be one of those, all right, like this is the perfect excuse to not have to deal with this dog anymore, but I can't do it.
It's almost like families. I knew a couple families growing up that had, you know, five or six kids. And for the most part, they're all very similar, but there was one family where one of the kids who was my age, who was in my class, he was the one that sucked. Like, he was. Like, his sisters were cool. His younger brothers were cool. Like,
but he sucked.
He was just a D-bag.
Right.
Like, all the time. Golden Retriever safely back on the ground after becoming stuck in a tree in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. Gladwin Volunteer Fire Department shared on social media that a dog named Bentley, a Golden Retriever, somehow climbed into a precarious position in a tree surrounded by heavy brush and was unable to get down. The dog climbed the tree. They used a ladder to get the thing out of the top of the tree. Firefighters responded, safely rescued Bentley, bringing him down using a large ladder. Yes, the fire service has been dealing with cats stuck in trees for many years now. But we like to be unique, according to the fire department. Bentley was not injured, and no firefighters were hurt during the rescue. But the Golden Retriever did, in fact, climb up in the tree. And he looks like the Bentley we know.
Yes, I was going to say, I know a Bentley who's a Golden Retriever. And yes, he looks exactly like that.
Yeah. Now we have a story out of Kentucky. A missing Kentucky dog and his owner have been reunited after a harrowing fall and a coordinated cliffside rescue operation. On July the 11th, the Wolf County Search and Rescue Team posted on Facebook, the owner of a dog who had been missing for 4 days called for help when he finally heard faint barks from a cliffside. Search team members said the dog fell from an approximately 65-foot cliff.
Ooh.
And became stranded on a narrow ledge nearly halfway down the mountain. Our team responded and conducted a high-angle rope rescue operation to safely reach the anxious pup.
High-angle rope rescue.
Mm-hmm. After carefully securing the dog, rescuers brought him back to the top, where he was reunited with his relieved and grateful owner. Thankfully, they say the story had a happy ending. Team thanked its volunteer members who put the time and dedication into learning life-saving techniques for humans as well as their four-legged companions. Every life matters, and we're thankful that this one made it home.
I mean, look, it's not that it's funny, but sometimes rescues go wrong, all right? Whether it's animals or people, and this video's been out there forever now, but it's like the two old guys in, like, Scotland or something. But I guess it rescued a hawk with, like, a broken wing. Whatever they did, they nursed this thing back to health was the point. So they had grown attached to it.
And it was a falcon.
Peregrine falcon.
Yeah.
And they're in a park, and they're already kind of sad because they got to say goodbye to it. And they're, you know, let it go. They're going to let it fly free. And, again, it's two old dudes. And you can just see on their face, like, hey, we did a good thing. Time to say goodbye. And they let go of this falcon. And it takes off just as majestically as you think, kind of does a U-turn in the air, but when it does a U-turn in the air, it starts flying the opposite direction. Its flight path is directly over a highway, and an 18-wheeler smashes the bitch. I mean, within like 3 seconds of them letting him go, and the looks on their faces when they realize what has happened. It's sad, but you're like...
It's sad, wow. But it's also kind of awesome.
That did not last long, but then poof. There's a video Miles was showing me.
But like you always say, why did they release it next to a highway?
Well, you don't think the bird
they're kind of in a cornfield, like over 100 yards off of the...
It's not like they just stood in the
pretty
highway.
Close to that highway.
They let it go, and it flew over the highway and got hit by... Damn, that was funny.
For the first time in a minute, it took flight. Like, it's going to take a second to get up there. I'm with Ted. Why are you out there next to the doggone highway?
Okay, but this goes back to bison guy, right? You're 100 yards away. The recommended, the bison takes off, it messes you up. In this case, they were far enough from the highway where I don't think they thought... It was going to fly into the road. They thought wrong, and then the bird died. But Miles showed me a video. I'm not sure what the rescue was about. And I believe this is like England or Ireland. And there was a guy. So there are probably 12 rescue guys there. They're on top of a very grassy hill. Looks like the kind where they do the cheese roll kind of thing. And he's in a stretcher, but he's strapped to the stretcher, but he's on a gurney. So they're trying to roll him down the hill.
I don't think they were trying to roll him down the hill. I don't know
what do you think?
I don't know what the hell happened.
Long story short, dude falls. Keep in mind, he's strapped to a board. So
have you seen this?
No.
Oh, my God. You have to. He falls off of the stretcher, starts rolling down the hill, man. And it's
cruising.
He didn't roll down the hill. I mean, he is. Are you watching it now?
Oh, no.
Tim, if you can find that, throw that up on YouTube.
This looks like Benny Hill. He's going down like a luge.
That's I mean, they're trying, man.
Yeah.
They're trying to help this guy. Sorry.
Here's a good times. Man. We head to Indiana. Several people were rescued from the White River around Noblesville after conditions became dangerous on Sunday. Sheriff's office says several people, and this also happened in Missouri, so it's not much different. We're enjoying the river recreationally when conditions became dangerous, including rising water levels and a swift current as a result of Saturday's heavy rain. Plus log jams and debris in the river also make conditions even more dangerous, according to the sheriff's office. Now, as far as flooding goes, when my grandparents actually had to relocate their home because they put a flood wall where it was located on the river.
All right.
There's just not a lot of room in West Virginia for homes. So most of the time it's in a valley. It's in a holler is what they call them.
Yep.
But so this...
Why do they call them hollers? Isn't there some reason?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a hollow. But they call it
that's
hollow.
Why. It's a hollow.
Just, I think it's right, the way they pronounce it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a holler. But when the flood came, they had a two-story house. And all the water level got to the first floor ceiling, which was about 12 feet, 10 feet.
Jesus.
So this is an old house. And so the water was very, very high. They were all upstairs. And there was a window, that like a couple of windows on the side of the roof. So you could climb out on the roof. What's called? Like little dormers or whatever the hell they are.
Something like that.
But the rescue boats were coming up and bringing food. But everything that they owned that could float was floating up through the staircase.
Yeah.
So they're basically just sitting there fishing for their stuff and seeing what would come up, because a lot of it was actually flowing outside of the house and along with the current of the river.
Yeah.
So they're losing half their crap out the front door, out the windows, because all those busted out. But the stuff that flooded up to the top, they basically just sat there for days and waited, and they were bringing them like cheese sandwiches, crackers.
But they can't. Why couldn't they put them in a boat and get them out of there? I'd be like, guys, I appreciate it, but you got room on the boat?
Well, because there were so many people in that neighborhood, and they were not equipped to be able to rescue. These are neighbors.
Okay, this is not a rescue.
This is the National Guard is not there. These are just people trying to, you know, help out their local neighbors and do the best they can. I'm sure they took some elderly people out of there. But
sure.
My grandparents were probably in their 30s or 40s when this goes down, so it's not the same exact situation, but. Just being in that house after the fact, because eventually the Tennessee Valley Authority came in and blew all their houses out, built a flood wall and put them up on the mountain. But you could see, because you could see where the line was, still in the living room and in the dining room, how high the water was. Like, it messed up the plaster. Like, they painted it, but you could still see.
You could see it. We saw it in New Orleans, obviously, post-Katrina. But my wife and I were down there like 10 years ago now, whatever, but... We went to the Treme. At that point, the show was hitting big, and the neighborhood was kind of turning around. But the Treme, basically, the neighborhood is on a hill, right? But it's all kind of like row homes, and it starts at the bottom, and it climbs its way up. And we came from the top, so I wasn't really thinking about Katrina, but you realize the lower you walk down this hill and start looking at the sides of houses, you can see exactly where the water line was. So when you get to the very bottom... Those houses were pretty much completely submerged, but you could go probably 5 or 6 blocks up, and it's a steep hill, and still see the water line. I'm just like, my God, man. And then we watched one of these shows about natural disasters, but they covered New Orleans with Katrina and all this, and they're showing actual footage from it and talking to a bunch of the survivors. It is insane. So you're talking about, you know, people getting swept out, or there was a guy who had held onto a tree for like 9 hours. And the rescuers, they couldn't go over with the helicopter because it would blow something over. But they finally rescue this guy. And this is not him on the news. This is just being recorded in real time. And the guy from the fire department's just like, my God, man, how long have you been out there? He's like, I don't know, man. I think it's been like 9 hours. Like, you held onto a tree for 9 hours. It took you 9 hours to get here. Brother's way said, I want to let go of the tree, man. But they kept showing footage of him when he's holding it. And you couldn't really see him. It's just more they heard his voice. And then when you kind of focused on the tree, you started seeing the outline of the guy. But, man, their stories are freaking crazy. There's all the people
Water's just so destructive.
It's remarkably
destructive. And I don't think people fathom, like, obviously, when those levees breach, right? Because they had already survived the storm. But those levees breach, and that water just keeps coming.
That was
like,
the thing.
Right, like, on a lower note, right? Like, I don't know if it was last summer or something. My buddy Will was with his family down at like one of the beaches we grew up going to.
All right.
Same thing. There's a hurricane or, you know, I think
that was last August.
Yeah, like tropical depression or whatever. Yep. But like basically, you know, his kids are, I think the oldest is like 12 or 13. So him and his wife just went out to get like a nightcap. And like they basically got stuck in a bar because the water had come in while they were in there. And there was like 3 feet of water. And they were, and the people in the restaurant were like, you really shouldn't walk through that. And they're like, And they're like looking at the hotel, like, well, our kids are over there. Like, we got to get over there. But yeah, he said the same thing. He's like, it was terrifying. Like, it seemed fine. Then all of a sudden, that wall of water comes in. And he's like, there's nothing you can do.
And think about the wall of water. Like, in addition just to the water, whether you can swim or it's pushing, just all the crap that it carries with it. So they're saying, like Katrina, they're like, the water did damage to property, but a lot of the human life, it's not so much that you drowned in the water, it's that you ended up in the water, and either it slammed you into a car that it was dragging.
Or something else.
Or took a broken tree and, you know, put it through your body. I'm like, my God, man.
Kind of like a tornado. It's not that you're in the wind, it's what's in there with you.
Yeah, they saw the fire, like, dead cattle with, like, just, like, pieces of hay. Yeah. But it's just blown into them, like, you know, shotgun shrapnel. I'm like, good.
Well, that's the weird thing about working on radio. Doesn't matter what the deal is. You got to get your ass in here.
Oh, yeah. So that you can tell everyone else to stay home.
Exactly.
In case you didn't know.
A tornado went through my neighbor's, and I was doing a morning show, and it went through his backyard. It knocked all like four or five huge oak trees down in his backyard. It did not make it to my yard. It went the other direction. But the wind was so strong at the time, one of the trees that was in his yard kind of fell over the top of my driveway.
Yeah.
So I could not back my car out. So now it's 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Thank God it was the eye of the hurricane because I kind of opened everything up so you could see. And me and my neighbor were out there for probably an hour to 45 minutes cutting the tree into pieces and rolling the logs onto the side of my yard just enough for me to be able to back out of my driveway and get my car out of the garage.
To go to work to tell
then
people
to obviously. To work, you know, to give reports. You know, because, look, they're calling you. Like, they're calling you. Like, are you going to make it in here? We need you in here. No one else can make it in based on where they live. And I'm
why do they think you can make it in?
Because I always did.
Something's never changed.
I think that's what I mean. Seriously.
We hear that now. Traffic's really bad for them. Like, traffic's bad for every damn body. Get your ass into work, man.
Yeah. We head down to San Francisco. Authorities in San Mateo County rescued three people after their sailboat capsized in San Francisco Bay over the weekend. And that's cold water. Three peninsula residents are safe after they were rescued from a capsized sailboat over the weekend. About 1:30 yesterday. Deputies from the Marine Unit of the San Mateo County Sheriff's Office were training, which was lucky, in the water near a bridge when they heard a water rescue call and two of the boats responded. Deputies learned that a sailboat capsized in the water and three people were clinging to the side of the vessel. The boat was located about a half a mile east of San Francisco International Airport, so you know exactly where that is if you've ever flown into to San Fran. According to the Sheriff's Office, three people appeared uninjured but were shaking from exposure to the freezing cold water. And they were taken to a marina and evaluated by EMS and firefighters. That, to me, would be to be in open water in a situation where it's freezing cold. That's another one that I just never want to deal with.
No, I agree. No. How long does a capsized boat stay afloat?
Depends on the vessel and how it was damaged. Yeah. Right, so it ran into something it could sink.
Right. But if it's just upside down.
The capsizes, there's a chance there's going to be an air bubble underneath it, and it'll float for a while.
Might depend on the boat, too.
What's that?
Seems like sailboats, if they capsize, will float for a while. Right. It seems like if you're in, like, a speedboat or a yacht or something that starts taking on water, it seems like you're just going down.
That's what
did you guys see the boat that burned down on Lake Washington over the weekend?
No, this past weekend.
I mean, huge. This boat was huge. I don't know how many people were on this boat, how they got them all off, but I tell you this. I mean, I bet 20 people were jumping in the water.
Yes. The boat's on fire, man.
No, did you see a picture of the boat?
I did not.
No, that's pretty big.
I always wonder about that. One of the things they said about the Titanic, right? So obviously we know the story, but they said a lot of the people that were still swimming away, trying to swim toward lifeboats, that when the boat went down because of its weight, it sucked all of these people down. And that, to me...
That makes sense.
It makes absolute sense. But just hearing it, I'm like, that, to me, is the most terrifying... Like, I've made it off the boat. I can see the lifeboat. I'm swimming there. And then the boat goes under and just... You're sucked down until you're dead.
Did you see that the Mythbusters tested that?
No.
So they basically tested the theory because that was the one that went out there, but it's hard to prove, right? So what they did...
Yeah, a little hard to prove.
They rigged it up to where they had it was a box, basically, that you could sit crisscross on this box, and they weighted it to where when it hit the water, it shot down to the bottom.
Okay.
And they sat him on top of it. And that box, just that small box, drove him all the way to the bottom of that thing.
Really?
He said it was the wildest thing that he had felt, that he just pulled him all the way down. That thing that small. You put the Titanic out there? Yeah,
Saying you're getting sucked down.
I have no doubt whatsoever that it pulled people all the way down.
They said because you heard screaming, you heard crying, and then when the boat went under, it was dead silent. And I'm like, see, that bugs me on a level I can't even explain, man. Mm-hmm.
Here's my favorite story, though, over the weekend, besides the guy getting thrown up in the air 8 feet. A hike up of UK's tallest peak turned into a rescue operation after a black Labrador collapsed on the Ben Nevis Trail.
It's big one wheezy.
Likely after eating someone's bag of weed that they left behind.
Oh.
Dog trainer...
Did he eat it before or like during the hike?
During the hike. A dog trainer named Christina Bloom says Tokyo, her normally energetic working dog, lost the use of her legs and drifted in and out of consciousness halfway up the 4,500-foot mountain.
Drugs!
During a trip to Scotland last weekend, a local mountain rescue team... stretched the 55-pound dog down to Crown Vets in Fort William, where staff told them they suspect Tokyo had ingested a whole bag of marijuana that was left along the trail. The dog was unconscious for most of the descent, but had fully recovered by the next day. They praised the rescuers for their kindness and professionalism, and now are urging people to be more careful when tossing drugs and other substances, even in seemingly remote locales.
Why would you toss your drugs first?
Somebody must have dropped that. I can't imagine anybody just tossing a bag of weed, especially mid-hike. It's too heavy.
I agree. Somebody out there heard the story and said, hey, dude, I know where our weed went.
Oh, trust me.
But we're going to keep it quiet.
I've had to take an animal to, you know why, because if they eat.
Did he eat weed? Did he eat a brownie?
Ate the entire, I had a little tray of weed on my coffee table, and Miles ate the entire tray, licked the entire tray clean. He started freaking out. My wife at the time is a vet tech. So she's like, she's seen the movie before. Like, they bring animals
there's
in like
that
all the time.
There's not much you can do.
There's nothing you can do about it. But either way, it's her baby. It's her dog. So one way or another, his ass is going, you know, to Shoreline or wherever the hell to get checked out. He was fine. There was
so
nothing
do
wrong
you
with
need
him.
To take your pet to the vet if you know it's because they ate weed? I mean, if you have a chihuahua, I get it. But I'm saying, you know, a normal-sized dog.
I think instinctively you're going to just because you're worried. I mean, like, you want some sort of reassurance if there's any that they can give
to make
you,
sure right? It's the weed, I guess.
I mean, you're right, but I've heard this story before, and it's a lot like Miles. I'm pretty sure when you take them, they're just kind of like,
yeah, keep an eye on them, give them some water.
I saw a tiny dog that ingested an edible. And the dog was fine.
But
at one point we looked over and it was just standing there. It just fell over.
The dog did?
Yes, because it was only like a, you know, six or...
Did anyone go pick the dog up or anything?
Yeah, we kind of tipped it back over. It sounds awful. That dog went on to live for years, but it was just so funny as he would just stand there and go, ugh.
That's a good weed right there, man.
But same thing, they took him to the vet, and the vet was like, he's tiny, like, he'll be okay. I can't imagine mentally where he's at.
Probably in a pretty good place. Probably chasing squirrels.
So a couple Christmases ago, you know, we were on break, the show was off, and we're back home for the holiday season, and we had just moved into our new home. The wife, she wants a new cat. She is just, she's beside herself. She wants to get herself a new kitten, right? So we go and we find this. We got this cute little new guy. His name's Dominic. We get him, and he is probably the biggest troublemaker that we've had. I haven't had a black cat since I was, you know, in single digits. But he fit right back into what I remember. They get into trouble. They're mischievous little things. So all of a sudden, you know, we're hanging out. This thing is just weeks old. He jumps up on top of the bed at one point. We're just hanging out in our room, and he jumps up on top of the bed, and all of a sudden he starts... doing that move, right?
All right.
And she notices that there's bubbles forming, and she freaks out. She's like, he's foaming at the mouth.
So she reaches in there, she pulls something out, and there is a pill that has now been chewed on.
Oh.
Yeah, this is not good. So she's identifying the pill. Well, I grab this kitten by the scruff, and I'm shoving his head underneath the sink like, drink! Just drink! It was gabapentin.
What the hell is that?
It's a certain kind of a drug that, to be honest with you, I'm not sure what it is, but my wife uses it, and she uses it frequently, and so she freaked out. She ended up having to call an emergency vet, an emergency call service. She had to spend extra money, like $80, to get emergency advice on whether or not this was okay.
Advice.
Which is basically them going onto Google saying, oh, yeah, actually, they prescribe gabapentin to cats all the time. He's going to be a little bit sleepy, but he'll be fine. Like, I got it.
Your guess is as good as mine. Count of our categories today, the states that spend the most on fast food, rat-infested cities as well. And we got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.